Greetings and welcome to Bethany United Church of Christ here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as we continue to bring you these virtual worship services in this time of hard separation due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Because we are now in Pennsylvania, in this part of the state, in the yellow zone of allowances, we are now able to hold meetings at the church. This week we had 3 meetings. It was so good to see others above our masks and to share live discussion and decision on the program and business of the church. It has certainly been a surreal time with this virus, and now, especially in these last couple of weeks, this very painful time for our nation with the calls for justice and peace. You are invited to join me this afternoon, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock here at Bethany. Outside, we will hold about a 20-minute prayer vigil to remember these concerns and to pray for God's peace that only God can give us. There will be chairs provided outside to help us with our social distancing and for those of you who do need to sit. Please come with your mask, wearing your mask. If you are unable to attend this prayer vigil, we invite you and encourage you to pray on your own, petitions of your heart and mind, at 2 o'clock Sunday this afternoon. Thank you for sending in or dropping off your offerings. The support of Bethany Church is very much needed, and we appreciate your generosity and whatever you can give at this time. Please remember to call in your RSVP to attend one of the brainstorming sessions being planned for Saturday, June 27, or Sunday, June 28 at 10 a.m. in the air-conditioned fellowship hall. All ideas are welcome. I'm happy to announce that the summer meal program, that wonderful outreach of about 4 churches here in Bethlehem, are serving and helping with the summer meal program sponsored by the Bethlehem Area School District. And this past Monday, 11 students, children, were served breakfast and lunch. So this will continue through the summer, and we have a number of other folk from the Bethany family who are helping to serve. Next Thursday, June 18, your pastor will be driving to Chicago to visit my son and his family, and will be returning the following Wednesday. I was in touch with Pastor Tammy at West End Moravian Church, and she's going to provide pastoral emergencies. I am very grateful continually for our worship team, and now I invite you to join our hearts and minds as we worship together with the prelude. Welcome to Bethany Church.
Thank you.
I invite you now to join with me for the responsive call to worship. We begin in the name of the one whose mystery is beyond us. We stand before the ultimate mystery, seeking understanding. So open and reveal yourself to us today, O God. Teach us your ways, that we might serve you and your whole creation. We sing now together, O Christians, haste, provided in your bulletin. Let us sing together.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your servant girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. And now reading from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ came and died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 8. Then Jesus went about to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." May God bless to our understanding and to our hearts these the readings of his holy word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the gospel lesson that I just shared with you from Matthew, we received these words: "When he," that is Jesus, "saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." And so we behold, as we look at the record and read the record and hear the record of Jesus and his life, we discover his boundless, merciful compassion. And yet it is easy to miss that word as we think about Jesus and his compassion. So often with Jesus, the central message here is compassion. God has visited his people, declares the saving word of God. It is an evidence that God is helping God's people in the very presence of Jesus. When Jesus stood in the synagogue and read of himself as prophesied in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I came across this story recently of a schoolgirl who spotted among a new litter at the pet store a particular puppy who couldn't live without. She worked and she scraped and finally got enough money to buy it. At the pet store, the owner offered to help her with her choice. "Okay," she said, "but I already know which one I want." The owner took her to the cage, which he opened, and his jaw dropped when the young girl moved to the rear of the cage quarters to the only pup that wasn't making a sound. "No, you don't want that one," said the owner. That's the run. Probably will die soon." "Well, I am surprised that it has even made it this long." The owner would relent until at last the girl reached down and hiked up her pant legs to reveal ravaged, stick-like legs that couldn't have borne her weight were it not for the metal braces on them. And then she reached down, picked up this scrawny, listless animal, and said, "This is the one. This is the one I want." How could you and I, how could we creatively respond to Jesus' call, "Be compassionate as your God is compassionate"? How can we make God's compassion the basis and source of our lives and what we do with our lives? Where can God's compassionate presence become visible? How is it possible for us, broken and sinful human beings, to follow Jesus Christ and thus become manifestations of God's compassion? What does it mean for us to enter into solidarity with our fellow human beings and offer them and receive from them this gift of compassion, suffering with? The message that comes to you and me in the New Testament is that the compassionate life is a life together. Compassion is not an individual character trait, a personal attitude, or some special talent, but a way of living together. When Paul exhorts the Christians of Philippi to live a compassionate life with the mind of Christ, he gives a complete description of what he means. "There must be no competition among you, no conceit, but everybody is to be self-effacing. Always consider the other person to be better than yourself, so that nobody thinks of his or her own interests first, but the others instead." Precisely because we are so inclined to think in terms of individual greatness and personal heroism, it is important for us to reflect carefully on the fact that the compassionate life is community life. We witness to God's compassionate presence in the world by the way you and I, the way we live and work together. Those who were first converted by the apostles revealed their conversion not by feats of individual stardom, but by entering a new life in community. The faithful all lived together and owned everything in common. They sold their goods and possessions and shared out the proceeds among themselves according to what each one needed. Imagine a community and a world like that. A compassionate life is a life in which fellowship with Christ reveals itself in a new fellowship among those who follow him. Yes, we tend so often to think of compassion as an individual accomplishment, that we easily lose sight of its essential communal nature. By entering into fellowship with Jesus Christ, who emptied himself and became as we are and humbled himself by accepting death on a cross, the ultimate expression of compassion, when meaning suffering with, when we enter that fellowship, we enter a new relationship with each other. Compassion can never be separated from community. In fact, it is there where it is felt and truly made known. Fellowship with Christ is fellowship with our brothers and sisters everywhere. This is most powerfully expressed by Paul when he calls the Christian community the body of Christ. One of the most tragic events of our time is that we know more than ever before about the pains and the sufferings of our world, near and far, where there is this seemingly helplessness. Wars and earthquakes, droughts and floods, and concentration camps even still existing in the world, torture chambers, countless other forms of human suffering that we know well, close to home or far away. There seems to be this ceaseless litany of human suffering. And in the midst of this reality, the question is, are we moved to a closer solidarity with the world around us by this kind of reporting? It is doubtful. Can we really expect a compassionate response from a report of starvation, for instance, as we wolf down eggs over easy in a local restaurant when we're able to do that? Massive exposure to human history often leads people, I think, to a kind of psychic numbness, sometimes hostility. We realize that confrontation with human pain often creates anger instead of care, irritation instead of sympathy, and even fury and violence instead of compassion. So, how can we see the suffering in this world of ours and be moved to compassion as Jesus was so often moved? This question is so urgent for us, I believe, in this time when we see so much. The Christian community mediates between the suffering of the world and our individual responses to this suffering. Since the Christian community is the living presence of the mediating Christ, it enables us to be fully aware of the painful condition of the human family without being exhausted or paralyzed. Yes, in the Christian community, we can fully recognize the conditions of our societies without panicking. This was convincingly illustrated by a man by the name of Joe Marino, an American theology student who once traveled to Calcutta to experience living and working among the poor, poorest of the poor. The missionary Brothers of Charity offered him hospitality. There, surrounded by indescribable human misery, he discovered the mediative power of community. In his diary, he writes, "One night I had a long talk with Brother Yizulao. He told me that if a brother is not able to work with his fellow brothers and live with them peaceably, then he is always asked to leave, even if he is an excellent worker among the poor. Two nights later, I walked with Brother Willie, and he said that to live with his fellow brothers is his first priority. He is always challenged to love his brothers. He stated that if he cannot love the brothers with whom he lives, how can he love those in the street?" My friends, in the Christian community, we gather in the name of Jesus and thus experience Christ in the midst of a suffering world. There, our old, weak minds, which are unable fully to perceive the pains of the world, are transformed into the mind of Christ, to whom nothing human is alien. For in community, we are no longer a mass of helpless individuals, but one people of God. In community, our fears and our angers are transformed by God's unconditional love, and we become gentle, peaceful manifestations of his boundless compassion. Wherever true Christian community is formed, compassion happens in the world. I close with this, one of my favorites, if not my favorite definition of compassion, shared by Frederick Buechner. "Compassion is the sometimes fatal capacity for feeling what it's like to live inside somebody else's skin. It is the knowledge that there can never really be any peace and joy for me until there is peace and joy finally for you too. Let us pray, my friends. O God, through your Son and Holy Spirit, you call the church into community. Help us to be the compassionate community in a world hungry for your word and thirsty for your love. Let all the people say, Amen. I thought, since today is Flag Day, June 14, that I would share with you a wonderful poem by Oliver Wendell Holmes, after which I will invite us to say together the Pledge of Allegiance. And I wonder, when's the last time you recited the Pledge of Allegiance? So I thought I should have a flag, and we have a flag on this Flag Day, and we will say together the Pledge of Allegiance. But first, this poem. Flower of Liberty. What flower is this that greets the morn, its hues from heaven so freshly born? With burning star and flaming band, it kindles all the sunset land. Oh, tell us what its name may be. Is this the flower of liberty? It is the banner of the free, the starry flower of liberty. In savage nature's far abode, its tender seed our fathers sowed. The storm winds rock its swelling bud, its opening leaves were streaked with blood, till low earth's tyrants shook to see the full-blown flower of liberty. Then hail the banner of the free, the starry flower of liberty. Behold its streaming rays unite, one mingling flood of braided light. The red that fires the southern rose, with spotless white from northern shows, snows. And spangled o'er its azure, see the sister stars of liberty. Then hail the banner of the free, the starry flower of liberty. The blades of heroes fence it round, where'er it springs is holy ground. From tower and dome its glory spread, its waves where lonely centuries tread. It makes the land as ocean free, and plants an empire on the sea. Then hail the banner of the free, the starry flower of liberty. Thy sacred leaves, fair freedom's flower, shall ever float on dome and tower, to all their heavenly colors true in blackening frost or crimson dew. And God love us as we love thee, thrice holy flower of liberty. Then hail the banner of the free, the starry flower of liberty. And now I invite you to say with me the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Again, we thank you for sharing your offerings with Bethany Church, and however you are presenting your resources to those in need around us. And so I offer a prayer of dedication at this time. Gracious God, giver of all good things, we ask your holy blessing upon our offerings and upon all what we share of our resources. In your holy name, through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And now we turn to our prayer time, and let us continue to remember in our silent prayer, before I begin the pastoral prayer, the presence of the virus, COVID-19, that continues to impact millions of lives here and abroad. For the heroic efforts of the medical teams, and the scientists as they work nonstop for a vaccination, for the many families who have lost loved ones, let us pray for ways that we can reach out and make a difference and help our neighbors in need. We pray continually for the millions still of unemployed folk and their families that are very overstressed with the support that has been pulled out from under them. Please continue to remember in your prayers the family of Joyce Hammer, who passed away on Tuesday, May 26th. And as you and I have been greatly saddened. We've had all kinds of emotions with the recent events. We pray for God's peace and justice. And so now let us come to God for prayer. We pray. O God, from whom all alone good proceeds, we rejoice in our call to a community as servants with Paul and all who have seen and have come to know the risen living Christ. We claim our place within the fellowship which has found freedom from the evils of the world through the perfect sacrifice of your dear Son, who was obedient to your will even to death on the cross. As recipients of your mercy, we have been shown the way of walking in peace with you and with one another. We pray, O God, for the gift of discernment in these days when there are so many conflicting voices, each claiming to be the fundamental bearers of truth. Knowing that your word is manifold and diverse in its teachings, we are loath to take the doctrinaire approach, closing our ears and minds to any others who may be informed by that new life that is yet to break forth. But yet we need from you, O God, that reassuring word that the tradition into which we have been baptized is valid. The teachers whom we respect and follow are your instruments. The faith delivered through the saints is the rock on which we stand. Give to us the courage to speak up for you, O God, especially when we know that we may be unpopular for having done so. When people want to be made to feel comfortable in the midst of their meanness of spirit and their curtailed deeds of charity, use us as witnesses to the power of compassion and the force of generosity in moving us all toward the realization of your reign. May we never become so distracted by our differences over the identity of the truth that we lose sight of the need to pray for all, for one another. We would remember all those who have special needs this day, particularly the sick and the sorrowing, the needy and the oppressed. Let our various faiths find focus in a joining of hands as we form a circle of redeeming love. And to you be all honor and glory, both now and forever. And in the name of Jesus, we pray together now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.